Hey guys, so I'm gonna be honest with you. The audio for this episode was pretty screwed up. It's something with my recording, the way it's set up, so I'll have to figure it out because I've tried out different mics and it's still having the same issue. So the audio for this episode is pretty bad, but me and Runicord did still have a good back and forth, good conversations, good takes. So I still wanted to upload the video, but yeah, the audio is kind of bad, so there won't be any clips for this episode either. Instead, I'm just gonna do a video kind of summarizing me and Rendicord's takes so that people can watch that video if they don't wanna deal with the audio of this video and they still pretty much get what this episode had. Anyway, let's get into it.
All right, Nathan Budnett, episode 18 with my man Rundecourt. The voice, the Discord was lagging a little bit, so hopefully it starts working a little bit better here. But we got my man Rundecourt. He's got about 400 subs on YouTube. I don't know how many followers on Twitter, but he's got like a bunch of following on Instagram, like over 50,000 followers on Instagram. So that's crazy. So tell him what's up, my man. Introduce yourself.
No, thank you, sir. Appreciate the nice words. But yeah, thanks for having me on the podcast. Appreciate it. I'm Rundecourt, but James, as you know, follow me on Instagram at Rundecourt, 51K over there, and counting YouTube at Rundecourt. And that's all I got. I'm not on that Twitter yet.
All right. Well, we can start off first, probably the most anticipated topic to talk about, Steph Curry breaking the 3-point record last night. So you had a video a little while ago about him possibly being the best point guard of all time. Do you think he's the best point guard of all time, or where do you put him at? What do you think of him breaking the record? All that good stuff.
Okay, so Steph Curry for me is an interesting one. People think I'm automatically hating when I say he's not the best point guard of all time, but it's two different questions in my opinion. The best point guard of all time or the best player at point guard of all time? Because there's a few players I would have above Steph if we're talking about point guard and the job of a point guard, because usually a point guard's job is to play create, while I see Steph as more of a play finisher. I'm aware he could create as well, but I see him more of as finisher. With that being said, I still have him at number two in terms of all-time point guards, because even if we're talking the best players, just because Steph doesn't have that finals moment where he just changed the outcome by himself, like Magic did in his rookie season when he filled in for Kareem and dropped a 42-point double-double.
Yeah, exactly, man. I had a video come out literally just this morning because I was like, all right, I gotta hop on the let's strike when the kettle's hot or whatever the phrase is. I was like, all right, time to put out a video on Curry. But I still put Magic above Curry because I said there's a difference between being the best shooter and being the best point guard. And Steph Curry right now, I would say, is one of like the best shooters, obviously with that record and him being able to snipe from anywhere on the court. But at the same time, Magic is just the better point guard for me because of everything he's able to do. He's able to, cross people up. He's able to have playmaking, excellent ball handling, able to find open teammates, just playing like crazy. And then, of course, everybody mentions the playing center and everything like that. So seems like we have pretty similar takes on that, so.
Yeah, and I hate that people always assume it's like a negative thing. Oh yeah, Steph isn't number one. Like it's like, oh, you're a hater. It's just that when it comes to a point guard, there's more things that you're looking for than just what Steph brings. And Steph fits the Warriors role, like the Warriors offense perfectly because of their system. Like, not saying he's a system player, but I think he perfectly fits that system, which is why he is so good in that. Like, I feel like if it was another team at point guard, Magic is just the better option in terms of point guard.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I know that you are a massive Heat fan. Your channel is mainly Miami Heat stuff. You did some reactions to Bucks versus Heat, stuff like that. So my question for you, being about 30 games in now, Is Tyler Hero still, quote-unquote, in the same conversation as Luka Doncic and Trae Young? You know, at the start of the season, he started to be like, okay, maybe he's got a point here. And then he started kind of, like, sliding off, going back to, like, where we expected him to be. So I'm curious your views on that, especially being a Heat fan, so.
All right, Tyler Hero. Like, I was big on him his rookie year. Like I said, with the reaction stuff, I caught some steam on the court, so like I just jumped on the bandwagon. Tyler Hero's the GOAT. He's the next best. And then he had his second season where I lost all faith in him, if I'm going to be honest. Not all faith, but I became real that he's not going to be the next best thing, obviously. But this season, with how great he's been playing, he has taken a step closer to the Luka-type players, but still nowhere near the conversation with Luka Doncic, if I'm going to be 100% honest. Call me a biased Heat fan. Tell me I'm everything in the books, because people just tell me I'm just an idiot, basically. But I know Tyler Hero's not on Luka's level. He's not on John Morant's level. But I will say, you know what I will say? He's better than R.J. Barrett. That's all I'm going to say, all right? That's all I'm going to say. I don't care what no one says about it. But, of course, he's not on the level of Luka Doncic. Like, that's not even... He's sixth man of the year conversation, and he's going to be. But Luka Doncic is in MVP conversations, which is a big difference.
Yeah, man. I agree 100%. That's something I was going to bring up. Because, like, at the start of the season, he was averaging about the same as Luka and Trey. Huh. And then, like, as the season went on, like, he sort of started to set back into where he typically is. And I like how you brought it up, like... Again, even if he is having about the same stats and everything, Luka is, like, on the MVP ladder, and Tyler Hero isn't going to be on the MVP ladder. So that's really the question there. And then I love how you brought up the Sixth Man of the Year, because that was actually going to be my next thing I was going to lead into. Do you think he can win Sixth Man of the Year, or is it going to be someone like Patty Mills on the Nets or some player that's been – playing for a long time that is now on the bench behind these super teams that everybody's making this year?
So with Sixth Man of the Year, I see it as, and it seems to be every year, they just pick the best scorer on a good team, the best scoring player off the bench on a good team. Like Jordan Clarkson won last year, the scorer. Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford, the type of players who win Sixth Man of the Year, when in reality, Andre Iguodala's of the world in like 2015, 16, 17, we're truly the best player off a bench. So, like, you know, MVP is kind of not just the best scorer. It's kind of almost the best all-around player. With Sixth Man of the Year, they disregard that, and they pick the best scorer on a good team. With that being said, I can see Tyler Hero winning Sixth Man of the Year because, like, it's that, and it's, like, the hype. You know, it's about the hype around them, kind of, and Tyler Hero has that fame, celebrity kind of vibe to him. So he is someone I could definitely see securing it, especially being a scorer off a pretty good team, like a third seed team right now. I mean, or what are they now? Fourth seed? I want to talk. I'm a little pissed off at the Heat. But with the injuries, I understand. But if they could finish top three seed and he could still average, what is he averaging? 26-4, 25-4, 100% could see him finishing top three and can definitely see him winning it. 100%.
Yeah, for sure, man. I get exactly what you're saying, because I was looking at, like, the Heat stats earlier, and even being off the bench, he's, like, the second highest scorer on the Heat right now. And, like, I know that Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo have been going through, like, injuries and, like, health and safety protocol, so some people will be like, oh, well, those numbers are, like, a little scuffed because of that. But at the same time, you know, like, he's scoring about the same as, like, if you look at the Bulls, like, DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine are, like, the two top scorers, and they're, like, in the mid to high 20s, and Tyler Hero is in the 20s as well for his team, being the second scorer. So, you know, he is putting up numbers as a great scorer for his team, and he's coming off the bench, exactly like you said. So I definitely think he can win Sixth Man of the Year. But I think it will be, like, some sort of contest with Patty Mills, just because the Nets are doing so well right now. And, like, I watched the Nets debut, and, like, it kind of hurt as, like, a Spurs fan. A Spurs and a Bucks fan, seeing him go against the Bucks and just drain threes. And I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, 7-for-7 that day, I think. Or 7-for-8, something like that.
Yeah. Speaking of the Bucks, though... you've been, again, as a Heat fan, been keeping up with the Bucks. I assume you've been watching the Heat's Bucks games. So where do you think the Bucks can end up this year? Like, will they make another deep playoff run? Do you think they'll lose to the Heat with their new additions of Kyle Lowry, PJ Tucker? You know, Giannis is in health and safety protocol right now, so I don't know how that'll affect it. So what are your thoughts on that?
So you're not going to hear me say many nice things about the Milwaukee Bucks, if I'm going to be honest with you. But honestly, if you watch them play basketball, they are a good basketball team. Like, it's not – I know they said they got lucky with their finals run, whatever people could say. But if you watch them play, they are a well-managed and coached team. And then with someone like Giannis leading them, they will always, always be dangerous. And they are a team to beat in the Eastern. Like, they – this will surprise no one if they make the finals at this point, because – even when they first, the Nets, like you said, the debut, when they faced the Nets, it was like they were up by 10, up by 4, up by 10, up by 20, up by 5. It was like an up and down game. But the entire time they were control, even when that got close. And that's the only way the Bucks would lose, is if they lose those close games. Like the Nets, they're first place, but I still think the Bucks are a better overall team right now, with Kevin Durant playing like MVP level. But you said how the Heat versus the Bucks, that worries me slightly, I'm not going to lie, because if you watched, I know the Heat looked different this year, but if you watched the playoffs last year, the Heat got absolutely dismantled and it wasn't even close. Like, it wasn't even close. They got embarrassed. They were the worst basketball team in every aspect. But with the additions of Kyle Lowry, PJ Tucker, Bam, and he said he's in a bigger role now, more scoring, but he's been hurt. If we could see what he could become. I need to see the season progress a little more. I hate to say it right now, but right now, the Bucks would beat the Heat. Absolutely. As a Heat fan, I'm saying that. But if the Heat take the trajectory that it looked like they were taking when they were healthy, that's definitely a great series and would be one of the best series in the playoffs.
All right. Yeah, I think the Bucks' biggest problem is going to be the loss of PJ Tucker, who I think is now on the Heat, right? So because with PJ Tucker being able to play the three or the four, you had Giannis being able to kind of move between the four and the five, which was a big asset for them. And like having another player that was a fantastic four spot, you know, being able to help on the starting lineup during the finals. You know, everybody says that was a big factor in their success, was having both PJ Tucker and Giannis on the floor. But they re-signed Bobby Portis, which I was really excited for, because I was scared we were going to lose him, because when Giannis was injured in the finals last year, Bobby Portis really stepped up, and I made a bunch of memes about it. It was really funny to me, because, like, did you watch that interview? He was like, they were like, how do you get pumped up for a game? And he's like, I imagine the other team slapped my mom.
that's crazy.
But now we lost PJ Tucker, but we have Bobby Portis back, so I'm excited to see Bobby Portis play some more minutes. And then we also have Boogie Cousins back. So do you think how Boogie will affect the Bucks? Do you think the Boogie Cousins curse is real? Everything like that. You know, everybody says, you know, once DeMarcus Cousins joins the team, that team like automatically tanks and everything, and like loses the playoffs. So
with DeMarcus Cousins, it's a weird one. Like, this is what happens. Like, he joins a team. Everyone, woo, DeMarcus Cousins back. He's, you know, back in the league, back on the team. He's going to change the way they play. And then he gets cut. He gets picked up. He gets cut. And, like, the up and down, up and down, up and down. And now I feel like the ups aren't as high. And it's kind of like everyone's like, ah, he's on a team. And I think the Bucks understand that DeMarcus Cousins is not going to change much in terms of that's not right to say. He can change the games where Giannis is in foul trouble and they needed someone to come in and drop 8 points. Because even if you see, no matter what, DeMarcus Cousins can play basketball. No matter what, he can play basketball. Like, he could play 4 minutes, he's going to give you 8 points on 5 shots. Like, he'll score. He's still DeMarcus Cousins. He still has that skill. Don't forget what this man was doing in Sacramento. He still has that. And I don't think the curse is going to be true, because I think the Bucks understand what he brings. So, like, if they don't need him, they won't play him. They're not going to feel pressure to put him in. So I don't think he's...
Oh, he cut out.
The finals.
You're good. Oh. Yeah, you're good. It just lagged for a second, but I got what you were saying, so you're good.
Okay. Like, with the Warriors in 2019 when they lost, he did help have big minutes. I mean, not big, even big minutes. He had big moments where he came in for 15 minutes, did what he had to do, and then he sat back down, except they didn't win that finals. But I don't think he will affect them negatively. I think if anything, it'll be a positive effect.
Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. Like, even if the quote-unquote Boogie Cousins curse is real, like, they don't even have to play him. So the curse won't have to take effect, you know? Because they still have Brook Lopez, who, I'm not going to lie, I kind of hated Brook Lopez in the finals because you're a fucking center taking threes. What are you doing? But at the same time, you know, Brook Lopez is a great defender. And then you also have the thing that everybody is constantly talking about, which is especially when we had P.J. Tucker again. But I feel like we can still do it with Bobby Portis, which is put Giannis in at the fucking five. For God's sake, and then put Bobby Portis or somebody in at the four, and we're just elite. I don't know how much we'll play Cousins. The thing that's going to worry me is, like, Cousins not even being on the, like, something that doesn't even have to do with Cousins being on the floor. It has to do with, like, stuff in the locker room or, like, off the court, because Cousins is, like, known for being, you know, that hothead, that guy to, like, instigate and, you know, being this big buff guy, like, you know, wanting to start stuff. And then you have Giannis, that's the exact opposite, not wanting to start anything, very humble guy, just there to play and everything like that. So it'll be interesting to see kind of like how those clash, like being like having a guy like Boogie that's just going out there being like, I want to destroy everyone and everything in front of me, and then Giannis just being like, yeah, I just want to play the game.
Yeah, I can see that. I feel like, but I see that he is hothead and he always, you know, tends to get into trouble. But I feel like he's at a point in his career where he knows he can't do that anymore because he's not what he used to be, and he doesn't bring what he used to bring. So at this point, if he's making trouble in the locker room or just getting unnecessary texts and actually being a liability on the court or not on the court, I think the Bucks know what they have to do. I don't think they will hesitate to get him out of there. I mean, but I don't, like I said, I think Boogie knows he's not in a position to do that anymore.
Yeah. So without getting like too political and into like the science of it and everything, there has been some talk of Kyrie potentially taking a vaccine if it becomes plant-based, and some hope for him coming back this season. If Kyrie does come back this season, do you think the Nets will be able to beat the Bucks again? Like we were talking about, like the Nets Bucks debut, Kyrie wasn't in that debut. So do you think it changes, and how much it changes the take you had earlier about the Bucks going deep in the playoffs and the Bucks being the team to beat in the East and everything like that?
So if Kyrie comes back, the Nets are winning the NBA championship, especially with how Kevin Durant is playing right now. Kevin Durant is taking that obviously leading scorer role, while James Harden isn't shooting necessarily well and being more the playmaker. So Kyrie would be the final piece to the puzzle, and they will be truly unstoppable, I think. Because with Kyrie being the second scorer and James Harden being the play, like the fully playmaker, like just drop into a playmaker role, averaging like 18, 12, and 10, I think the Nets will absolutely be the best team in the NBA. No team will beat them, and they will cruise past the through the East. And if anyone gives them trouble, I would think, as of right now, I think it can be a healthy Warriors team with Klay Thompson back and Klay Thompson peak form. That is a team that I see giving them trouble just because the Warriors play such good basketball. But I don't think any other team would even have a chance. Not even the Bulls in their best form. No team has a chance. If Kyrie Irving comes back with at least 25 games left in the season and they have time to get some chemistry, some flow, they are dangerous and can be the best team we've seen in a long time.
All right, yeah. My old co-host, Fernando, is in the chat right now. He says, if Kyrie is on the board, Nets win it all. And then he also just hopped in to reference what we were talking about earlier. He said Curry over Magic now that he broke the record. I disagree. We talked about that earlier, Fernando. I think we both said Magic is still above Curry. And then he said he's a Rockets fan, so now he's just talking bullshit in the chat to be funny. But he said Rockets have the best future in the league. I think they have really good draft picks and everything, but, I mean, they got to start winning some games, so...
to Kevin Porter out of the point guard role, in my opinion.
Yeah, they have great draft picks. It'll be interesting to see like how they compete with OKC though, with OKC having a bunch of draft picks. But again, OKC did just have that loss last week, and we talked about that last week, talking about that loss really affects them because now nobody's really going to want to play there. You know, if somebody gets drafted, they may like request a trade like early into their career and everything like that. So
yeah, making the Rockets are an interesting one. Like, they have a lot of young players. I mean, they were on a win streak, to be fair, if I'm going to be honest. They had, what, like a six-game win streak, something like that, maybe even seven?
Yeah.
And Christian Wood looks great. Jalen Green has his ups and his downs, but obviously as a rookie, you're not too worried about seeing the field goal percentage. You kind of want him to get into a groove. I just hate Kevin Porter Jr. at point guard. I know he wants to be that role, but I just feel like he's not. He shouldn't be point guard. I mean, he's more of a shooting guard, small forward, in my opinion. I think it is to actually get the most out of him. And the Rockets are looking up overall. I will give him that. They are looking up, especially with the fumbling of James Harden, how they could have got Ben Simmons or they could have got someone better. They ended up, I think it turned out to be James Harden after all the trades. They ended up with Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley. Like, they turned James Harden into Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley. And that was a fumble. So I think they recovered well from that already. I think they're looking up overall. Definitely looking up.
Yeah. Speaking of, like, the Rockets trade, and I'm going to be completely honest here. I'm just going to let you rant because I have zero take on this. I have not been watching him close enough to have a take. But speaking of, like, the Harden trade and everything like that, how do you think Victor Oladipo will perform this year and how he'll fit with the Heat? I haven't been watching him close enough to have really any take on it, but you as a Heat fan, I'm interested in your opinion on it.
So Victor Oladipo, so he hasn't played a game this season yet, and he actually just started traveling with the team, which is exciting as hell as a Heat fan. But what Victor was doing at his best point, like 20 points a game, 21 points a game, kind of that score defender kind of guy, I do not expect him to be such a pivotal role in terms of scoring. I think he's exactly what the Heat need. A healthy team, a healthy Heat team with Victor Oladipo is literally the perfect fit. Because the Heat, even when they made their finals run, they're never about that one player kind of doing it all, like leading them and everyone else follows. It's kind of like one player takes the lead in one night, and one player takes the lead another night. And that is a good thing in terms of being a scrappy team. Because like the Heat aren't a powerhouse team. They are a scrappy team who will get under your skin, who will annoy you, like they did with the Bucks in 2020. No one expected that. Like they did with the Celtics in 2020. Like they even messed with the Lakers a couple games. Like that's the team the Heat will be. So I think Victor Oladipo will come in averaging 14-4-2, playing elite defense and getting, you know, averaging 14, but like having those 20, 25, 30-point games, but also receding to those 8-point games where he's just a player that you don't look on the stat sheet for. He's someone like PJ Tucker where you want him on the court no matter what, not because of the numbers, but because of everything else that he does. Mm-hmm. So Victor Oladipo is exactly what he needs in terms of defense, on the fast break, hustle, open shots, getting to the rim, making those energy plays to change momentums in games, like those big dunks that completely turn the momentum in a game. Victor Oladipo is that guy, and I am so excited for him to come back. I'm just scared about his injuries. I'm just scared because he hasn't been able to get healthy.
All right. Fernando said in the chat, he said, they said we fumbled it because we didn't get LeVert or Allen. They haven't really done much for them. We got years and years of picks, and let's be honest, Ben Simmons is not good. There's a reason Philly has kept going. Okay, well, I don't have much to say about that. Just wanted to read the chat. So this is sort of an interesting question for you. The teams have really been blowing leads this season, if you've noticed. Like, I saw you posted on your Instagram the meme with Trae Young, but then there's all the other ones from before, you know, like Luka blowing leads, the Nets blowing leads, everything like that. So do you think there's a reason for it? Is there anything, like, happening this season, or is it just kind of coincidence that all these teams are sort of having the same problem where they're, like, up by 30 and then they end up losing by 5 or something?
When it comes, like, yeah, right, that happened a lot with the Lakers, with all the teams you named. There's a bunch of memes with, like, the Lakers blowing leads. And I think it's a mix of everything. Coincidence, yeah, but also, like, how the culture is in the NBA now. Like, injury, trying to avoid injuries with those load management and stuff. So when you're up by 30, I feel like they just really let off the gas pedal. They really take a step back and they kind of don't fear that comeback. Because in the regular season now, let's be honest here, the regular season isn't what it used to be. People don't take it as serious as they used to. So even a loss, they don't even look at it that bad. But especially when they're up by 30, you see, oh my God, even a couple years ago, LeBron and the Cavs flipping bottles on the sideline, like doing the water bottle flips. Like, it's just not taken that seriously. You don't see these players playing 82 games anymore. And I think that comes with single games when you just take a step back, you relax, up by 30, you're going to chill. And then, what do you know? Like, the OKC Thunder, when they had that crazy comeback against the Lakers, no one expected that because the Thunder don't have so many big names that are going to make these big plays. But don't forget, these are NBA players, and they could still make some noise. Every single one of them, from the first man to the last man on the bench, they can all make some noise, and people forget that. So these comebacks are just going to keep happening throughout the regular season, and I do not expect it to slow down.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But now that you bring it up, I agree with it. Like, the fact that when you're winning, you know, you don't have to completely go, like, full force. And especially, like, later in the regular season where teams are like, all right, well, we already clinched the playoffs. Even if we lose every game here on out, like, we still have a playoff spot. The only reason, like, you would keep going, like, hard in the paint when you've already clinched the playoff spot is if you're, like, one of, like, the top teams, like, the number one seed. And you're like, all right, we got to keep the number one seed so we have, like, home court advantage and everything like that. But other than that, if you're, like, a sixth seed or something, you don't really have much motivation to go up or down. It's pretty much the same outcome either way. So the coach is going to be like, okay, let's just save everything we have for whenever we're actually like in playoffs with eliminations and everything like that. So I definitely agree with that. So next thing I got on here, we're just firing away at these topics. This has been talked about a lot the past couple weeks, but Zion Williamson, do I even need to say anything other than his name?
I don't know. I don't think so. Because what the hell? What the hell? Like, what a weird trajectory Zion Williamson has had. The hype that he had coming into the league, the injury, then people were kind of still worried, like, oh my, is he going to be as good as we think? Then him averaging 27 points per game while not shooting at all. This man was just bodying people in the paint. Everyone was on that hype train saying Zion's this guy, like this next best. Then this man puts on some weight. Let's not lie. He put on some weight, and he hasn't played a game this season. So at this point, it's and on top of that, the fact that people are saying he wants to leave the Pelicans already, which I don't even blame him. What the hell, New Orleans? New Orleans with the weirdest decisions of all time. We don't need Lonzo. Let's get Devontae Graham. Let's get rid of an all-around point guard to support our two scorers in Zion and Brandon Ingram. And let's bring in a guy, Devontae Graham, who is a three-point shooter, and that is it. Who is a flash three-point shooter. Let's get rid of Steven Adams, a all-around center who's great at defense for Jonas Valanciunas, which Jonas Valanciunas is better. But like I said, he needs his shots. But I don't hate that move because he is a great player, Valanciunas. But the Pelicans overall are in a bad spot. And Zion not playing a game yet and with another setback, I don't even know how to feel. Because I'm expecting, like I know, these are young guys, like him and Luka gaining weight. These are young guys and they're, you know, they just got all this money. And I understand lifestyle, life gets in the way, like enjoying your life gets in the way. So I'm not too crazy about his weight gain. I'm more concerned about his health, just the way he moves and those knees. And seeing another setback is not a good sign, and I'm scared he won't even play a game this season, and then it's really up in the air for Zion. It really is.
Yeah, man. I was watching Rusty Buckets, and he had, like, some really interesting takes that I liked. Like, he said, Zion is in such a weird position right now because of the media attention, because he's like, if you make fun of any injured player or any injury, you're immediately seen as an asshole. Like, if you make fun of an injured player, you're an asshole. But yet, with Zion, it's okay. Because it's all because of weight. But if that happened to, like, another player, like, if you're like, ah, this guy, you know, he twisted his ankle, haha. Like, or, like, if you laughed at Clay, like, after the finals, like, ha, he tore his Achilles. It's like, you're just an asshole. But then, like, Zion gains weight, and he has like a knee injury, and everybody's like, look at Zion, fat ass. Like, it's such a weird dynamic. And he talked about the problem with Zion and the Pelicans right now is finding a way to break the cycle. And, you know, everybody always makes the joke and the meme about, like, oh, it's the New Orleans food. And it's like, while that is a meme, there is sort of, like, some realism behind that. Because, again, it's about, like, breaking the cycle. And the cycle is pretty much, you know, he gets injured, so he goes into rehab. With rehab, he gains weight. Okay, well, he's gained weight, which means he's going to get injured again. With injury, he's going to gain weight again. With gain weight, he's going to get injured, you know, and so on. So he has to either find a way to not put on weight when he's injured, which is a very hard thing to do. I mean, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be injury. I mean, we all, I can say myself, you know, put on weight during COVID lockdown and everything like that. When you're injured and not moving, it's very easy to put on weight. And when you're putting on that weight, you know, playing a physical sport, you're going to get more injured. And again, it becomes a cycle and you have to figure out how to break it. And that's going to be him and the Pelicans organization, if he stays with them, their biggest problem with that is just figuring out how to break the cycle. And if they can break the cycle, they'll be fine. Because if you break the cycle, then again, all it is rehabbing the injury. The problem is with him rehabbing the injury, he's just he's causing himself to become injured again with the way he's handling it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's so funny you said that because that really is true. Like, the only way you could make fun of someone gaining weight is if it's basketball or like a sport, and only a men's sport, because like it's like no one cares. Because I don't even know why no one cares, but we call Zion fat and no one seems to bat an eye. That's a good point you make, and the cycle is true. Like, and it's almost inevitable. When you're working, running every day, and then you get hurt, it's almost inevitable to gain weight.
Yeah.
It really is, because you're so used to a lifestyle, and then not being able to work out, you're not burning any calories, you're not doing anything, so you're going to gain weight. And now it's in a bad cycle, like you said, and that's interesting. That's an interesting angle. That's true.
All right, so next thing I have on here, I mean, we kind of already talked about it, to be honest, because we talked about the whole Nets thing, but is KD the best player in the league right now? And also, I'm sure you saw the other day the KD thing with Skip Bayless, like, I really don't like you, like that tweet. So is KD the best player in the league? And, you know, just why, and everything, all that sort of stuff.
Kevin Durant, people asked a question like, is he the MVP? Is he the best player in the league? Those are two different questions, in my opinion. So you said, is he the best player in the league? Yes. Kevin Durant just came off an Achilles injury and got better, and he is now doing whatever the hell he wants on a Nets team that is struggling in a way. Like, if you watch them play, they're not playing amazing basketball. They're not playing amazing team basketball. It's kind of Kevin Durant and James Harden. A lot of ISO game, and then James Harden gets his screens to the paint and throws a turnover, kind of one of those. But Kevin Durant is absolutely the best player in the world, and when you're 7 feet tall and can do everything he does, like everyone talks about this, you can't contest his shot. If he gets to that, like that 12 to 15 feet area, he's going to score, or he's going to get a good shot off almost every single time. And the reason I say it's a different conversation with the best and MVP, it's because I do think it's fair to say MVP is more about what you're doing for your team. That's why I think Curry and KD could kind of be flip-flopping in that position, in that conversation, especially with the Warriors being so good, like so good as a team, that I think Steph can hold that number one spot right now. But I do see Kevin Durant. Do I want to say this? I'll say it. I do see Kevin Durant being this year's MVP. Finishing the season as the most valuable player, I do see it. And yes, right now, even with LeBron playing well, Kevin Durant is the best player in the world, and I say that with full confidence. And yes, Skip Bayless has to be quiet sometimes, because even when he compliments players, they're still like, shut up, just be quiet.
Yeah. I like what you said about the MVP, because it's something I've talked about with my basketball friends for years, and they've never fully understood what I meant. I was like, okay, MVP doesn't just mean best player. And they're like, yes, it does. And I'm like, no, think about what MVP stands for. It stands for most valuable player. It means that it's a player that if you take them off that team, they drop from like a third seed to like a 10th seed. They're the most valuable player in the league. They have the most impact to their team. And it's like, if you remove them, then they're just going to start losing games. Just like Giannis. Giannis, we talk about how impactful he is to the Bucks. And it's like, if you take away Giannis from the Bucks, like, you still have Middleton. You still have Drew Holiday. But you don't really have anybody in the paint. You don't have any more, like, lob passes, anything like that. And, you know, Giannis is in health and safety protocol right now. And I guarantee you, like, as long as he's in health and safety, they're going to lose, like, the next five games or something without Giannis. So, and that's why he's still the third, I think, like, the third or at least top five on the MVP ladder right now. Even after winning it twice already, I think, I'm pretty sure. And then losing to Jokic last year, because Jokic is the same way. Jokic, you take him off the Nuggets, and it's like, okay, we have Jamal Murray, that's about it. So, and then you have KD. KD, yes, he's a great player. He's dropping about 50 every night. You take him off the Nets, though, you still have Harden. And Harden, like, as much as he's been struggling, especially with the new foul-baiting rules, he is still Harden. And then if you have Kyrie coming back, then, you know. So, I 100% agree with what you said with the MVP. But is he the best player in the league right now? I think best player, he's definitely up there. It's between him and probably Curry, because, again, Curry did just break the record. But, you know, KD, you know, they call him the Slim Reaper. He's able to pretty much play, like, he's pretty much playing the point guard position, even though he's, like, what, almost, like, 7 foot? And, but he's pretty skinny, and, you know, he's, I don't know, I'm gonna end up repeating myself, but he, you know, he's the Slim Reaper. He can do everything. So.
Yeah, I like what you said about, it's because, like, your basketball friends might have to get them on here, because they think MVP is the best player ever. I mean, best player in the league. If the MVP is the best player in the league, LeBron would have more, Kobe would have more, Jordan would have more. It's not about that. It's almost about even the upcoming. Like, I think Jokic deserved it last year, but I don't think he's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think he's the top three in the league. And the year before that, when Giannis won it, Giannis could, well, at the time, I wouldn't have said Giannis is the best player in the league, but he was the most valuable. That's absolutely true. And if anyone disagrees with that, that's the weirdest argument I've ever heard in my life. And I may need to have a conversation with these boys.
All right, I'll let them know. So last couple things I have on here, and then I might have to cut it at that, because, again, I am going to have to leave. And I'll explain to my stream later why that is. I already told you why, but I'll tell my chat later. So I know neither of these players are on the Heat, but rookie of the year debate. Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green have seemed to kind of dropped since they've been drafted, and now it seems the argument is between Scottie Barnes or Evan Mobley. I kind of lean towards Evan Mobley, but I see Scottie Barnes also putting up similar numbers with getting, like, 5 blocks in these recent games. Really great defense, which that's something I love. I always love defensive numbers over offensive numbers. If you're getting, like, 7-8 blocks a game, that's more impressive to me than 40 points. I don't know about you. But so what is your take on that, Evan Mobley or Scottie Barnes?
But yeah, definitely, it is the conversation right now is between them. And I feel like I almost expected this. Everyone had so much hype about Jalen Green and Cade. That was almost, like, inevitable for someone to... I feel like it was, like, there's too much, and there's too much confidence in them that someone was going to come out of the dust. And I think I'm huge on Evan Mobley. I love Evan Mobley. And the difference between Scottie Barnes and Evan Mobley is that Evan Mobley is on a team that is winning games. And he has been a huge part in that. The defensive impact that he's bringing, like Scottie Barnes is playing amazing on both ends of the court too, but I just think Evan Mobley's presence has just been different, and almost people haven't obviously expected Evan Mobley to be what he is, but the way he's impacting defensively, like, I think he's even doing okay on offense. I mean, he has some games where he tried to do a bit too much and he went like 0 for 11 one game, a couple games really bad. But then we found his groove. I mean, look, he's right now he's putting up, what, 13-8-3 with more of a defensive impact than Scotty Barnes. I have Scotty Barnes at number one right now. And I'm not even sure what Scotty's averaging. I'm pretty sure his numbers look better. But I think I'm not big on, like, numbers mean everything. I kind of like to the eye test more. I think the eye test is more important. And Scotty's averaging 15-8-3. So pretty close in numbers. But I am personally on Evan Mobley, well, I think. But Scotty Barnes maybe is more all around than Evan Mobley. Mm-hmm. But I still have Evan Mobley at the rookie of the year.
Yeah, especially with Evan Mobley, you also got to think about the people that he has on his team. Like, even if he's putting up similar numbers, Scotty Barnes is playing on the Raptors. Evan Mobley is playing against the Cavs. It's going to be harder to get those blocks and rebounds when there's four other fucking centers on the floor with the Cavs.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. That's a great point.
So, I definitely take Evan Mobley getting those numbers, especially with, you know, three, four other big guys on the floor at the time with him. And I've hyped up Evan Mobley even before the draft. So I've been on the Evan Mobley hype train. I said that he could be the next Giannis and stuff like that with the way he's playing. So I'm definitely picking Evan Mobley for Rookie of the Year, pretty much everything that you said. And last thing I got on here, man, kind of sticking with the whole rookie thing is, do you have anybody in the upcoming draft you're looking for? You know, I've really stuck on to Chet Holmgren. Everybody keeps telling me I'm wrong and they like Paolo Banchero more, but I am on the Chet Holmgren hype train. I think if he puts on some weight, he'll be great. Everybody, you know, saying he's too skinny, and I'm saying he just needs to develop. And yeah, I don't know if you have anybody you're kind of eyeballing in the upcoming draft or anything, but if you do, I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't watch college that much, but Chet, this always seems to be the thing. I feel like people always say, oh, he's too skinny, or people always say this kind of stuff about players, and then they end up going, like, one thing, if you can play basketball, you can play basketball. And to see how this kid moves at his height and the way he could shoot, I think he is definitely going to be a problem in the NBA. And if his man puts on weight, like Kristaps was also like another, like a kind of, I feel like that's a good comparison, kind of Kristaps. Kristaps was always, a lot of people say he's too skinny early in his career. But when Kristaps kind of found his groove in New York, I mean, he also had his kind of downfall with the Mavs. But when he had his, when he was with the Knicks, people were saying he's the next best. He had the best potential to be the best in the league. It didn't matter how skinny he was, you know? And looking at Chet, the way he dribbles and everything, I don't think it's going to be a problem. Look at Giannis. Giannis came into the league skinny as hell, two-time MVP champion. I don't think a skinny is going to be a problem. Like, people always say that because I feel like a lot of people also do try to downplay greatness and, like, potential greatness a lot. But I don't think he's too skinny. But that other kid's name, what's his name? Dude, you said it before.
Paolo Banchero.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen him play a little bit. He seems more of a, what's the word? Traditional player. Kind of what you expect from a college player. And that's not taking any shots or any negative. Like, he's going to be nice, too. He's going to be nice, too. But I feel like Chet could be different. You know, he could change. Kind of like how LaMelo affected the Hornets. That's a good example. How we kind of just changed their culture in a way. I feel like Chet's different. And he has the following and the hype to change an entire culture. And he also has the skill, obviously.
All right, yeah. I completely agree. You know, we literally talked about last episode, like, LaMelo's impact on the Hornets. So that's crazy. And then I always talk, you know, I've talked about how I don't think the skinniness is going to be an issue, just like you said. You know, we talked about earlier, KD's literally called the Slim Reaper. So, but I'm going to have to go in, like, about the next 5 minutes. So do you have anything you want to add real quick before I end it off?
Bash, I think we got a nice convo in. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. And like I said, Run to Court on YouTube and Instagram. But, yeah, and that's it.
Yeah, man. It was an awesome talk. So go definitely check out Run to Court on YouTube and Instagram. He's way more popular than me, so it was cool having him on. I'm surprised, you know, he wanted to come on with a smaller guy like me.
Oh, of course.
But his stuff will be in the description, so go check him out. And I also got to put, like, this reminder in here that these episodes are available in audio on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all that good stuff, wherever you find your podcast. So if you don't have YouTube Premium and you don't want to watch the video, you can listen in audio form over there. Go check out my socials as well. Those are all in the description on YouTube. Or if you're listening in audio, just look up Nathan Butnett or Gingy with 3 Y's on whatever platform. You should be able to find it. And that's all I got. So thank you, Run to Court, for going on. And